Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Vaccinations and Your Rights in the U.S., a show co-hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brock and attorney at law Alan Phillips. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts and questions. Let's go!
Debbie Brock, founder of Homeopathy World Community, speaking with our co-host, Alan Phillips, attorney at law from North Carolina. Today is December 20, 2012. Only, is it one more day until the end?
One more day until the end of the world, and you're sharing it with us right here, and we're glad to have you.
And I have posted on Homeopathy World Community the song, The End of the World as We Know It, and I pray that that is true, and I also fear that that might be true. Both many, many different emotional takes on it, because my spiritual guides have told me that with this new birthing of the world into a new phase, that there is pain, there is suffering in the same way that a baby is born. And what will the world look like? Many have written about it, that there will be turmoil, and to uproot an establishment and to make it new and different and hopefully much better, because we do need loving kindness, compassion, peace, understanding, integration, many, many aspects of our internal soul qualities, and we need those to shine through. And I want to thank everyone for listening to these very informative broadcasts, and I hope that you will tell your friends that this is important information for you, whether you are a teen and can comprehend this information, in your 20s, 30s, 40s, and up, whether you're a grandparent or an elder. You never know whose life you can touch. You can be part of this educational movement by telling your friends. If you're on Twitter, send a tweet. Post the share button on Facebook. There are social bookmarking sites, Dig, StumbleUpon, Reddit. I don't know who's on MySpace, but if you're there, you can add it. And finally, you can take the embed code for any one of these shows or all of the shows, create that little widget from the HTML code, it's easy to do, and put it into the dashboard of your own website or blog. Put a favorite button on that show and get a reminder for when the shows are coming up. I don't know when Greg Glazer is going to be on, but he said he was going to follow up in the coming months, probably in January, he'll be back with us. And so we're going to be talking about a lot of the recent news issues today and putting our own personal thoughts and opinions in there. This is educational. If you need help, do give Alan a call and you'll get his voicemail. Go ahead, Alan. Take it away.
Well, no, I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, there really is a better chance than not when people call that they'll get the voicemail. I do the best I can to take calls and return calls as quickly as I can. But all my contact information is at the vaccinerights.com website. And so anyone with concern, vaccine-related legal concerns, vaccine rights concerns, is certainly welcome to email me at attorney@vaccinerights.com or give me a call and the number and email or both at vaccinerights.com. Well, Debbie, we have a lot of things going on in the news. I wish we could do a day show instead of an hour show, but it's just not feasible. But I know you had some things that you wanted to address, and I think I want to put this back over to you if you wanted to start out with that, and otherwise I'll dive in with things on my plate. Do you have a...
Sure. I don't have anything prepared. I have my personal thoughts that are surrounding the recent issues in America and which has touched the world. I want to also say to those folks who are listening, Sally or anybody else out there who's listening, you can call in to... If you're in the United States, to 347-945-6956, or click the little blue Skype button, and you will be connected to us, and we can entertain your comments or questions. And my thoughts today are dealing with the loss of 20 young children and 6 adults for a senseless reason that nobody will ever fathom or understand. It is not meant to be understood, yet humans have a need to make sense, to make put purpose and meaning into everything that happens in their life, but things that, you know, terrorize, that are frightening, or even things that are joyous and good in your life. You want to find meaning and purpose. But when something doesn't make sense, we have a tendency as humans to find our own purpose, our own take on it. So thus you're going to be here, you're going to hear the factions of people who say it's the guns. Take the guns away. If nobody ever had a gun, there wouldn't ever be a shooting. You're going to hear the people on the other side who are going to say people need to be armed, people need to be trained, and people need to have a weapon to defend themselves. And if everybody knows that everybody is has a protection, then these events simply won't occur. And people will cite events on both sides of the issue. You can cite places in the world like Israel, where when I was living there, you walk the streets, you're on the buses, everybody has their weapon, their soldiers, and you feel quite secure, and also it empowers people. The question is, Are people going to get crazy and start dominating other people? Or now, then there's the people who say it's a mental health issue, that individuals who do insane acts, and when you do murder, you are literally insane. So if you're doing something that is abnormal, then you would be diagnosed with a mental disease. Okay, so then they say it's the society's responsibility now to take care of these mentally ill patients. And what happens is, in America especially, the majority of these people, one, are not cared for because we don't have a system in place to care for the majority of them. Two, are considered criminals. And three, our criminal system, our justice system, does not allow intervention before an act occurs. So, you know, I'm throwing out many, many different aspects of what people are talking about, what you're going to hear on talk shows, radio shows, the television, the news. There's one component that I would say the alternative health faction is talking about, but I don't know how many people are really listening. That is concerning an underlying issue of why there are so many children being diagnosed with ADD, ADHD, autism, bipolar disease, personality disorder, schizophrenia. This is rampant in our society. How come this is happening? Why isn't the link being made to toxicity and the environment? And that includes vaccinations. Toxicity in the environment, I've written extensively about the amount of lead that is in our environment and in places where you wouldn't expect it. Balsamic vinegar or lipstick or doorknobs at Disney World. I mean, there are places where there's lead. Of course, you know that we've taken it out of the gasoline, made unleaded gas, but still, there are many of these toxic heavy metals. We've got mercury in our amalgams that's still being practiced in dentistry. of course, it's less expensive to do it that way than to do a composite type of repair to your tooth. Mercury is in many other places, and these things can become a gas. They can get into the air and the atmosphere, and we can breathe it. There's global warming and acid rain and all those other kinds of pollutants. All of these things, and people talk about chemtrails, whether you believe it or not, you know, that's a possibility. Fertilizers have chemicals. We can go on and on about environmental toxicities. And so everyone needs to care for their body and do as much as they can to keep their own personal environment clean and their neighborhood clean. And that is an issue that goes into vaccinations. And there, I've given you a tremendous introduction. I'm not being judgmental, and I am not saying we should do such and such. This is not a blame issue. This is a earth caretaking issue. And that's why this show is purely informative. Take the information, integrate it, make sense of it. Is it with or is it, does it align with your belief system, or will it nudge your belief system to take a closer look, and will it change how you think about certain things? Okay, Alan, how did you like that?
Quite a broad coverage of the issue, and a not particularly a conclusory fashion. There's certainly many things here that need to be explored, and I think you covered it well. You know, there was a medical historian by the name of Harris Coulter who published a book, according to Amazon.com, it was released in January 1993, called Vaccination, Social Violence, and Criminality. And Dr. Coulter considers not only the relationship of vaccines to autism, hyperactivity, allergies, autoimmune disease, learning disabilities, all of the kind of standard medical problems that people associate with vaccines, if they associate any at all, but he goes into the social realm, suggesting that there's a connection between neurological damage, certain kinds of neurological damage, and the high level of criminality in American society. And there are certain kinds of brain damage, I think, that we know scientifically that are associated with aggressive behavior, violent behavior. Whether or not vaccines have played a role and to what extent is a potential contributing factor in any given shooting, for example, is anybody's guess. I know other people have certainly pointed out that in many of the various shootings that have gone on in recent years that the individuals were on various kinds of medications for mental health issues, and there certainly has been some evidence showing connections between violent behavior and certain kinds of medications. So these are things to be concerned of. But as I think you're pointing out, there are potentially multiple contributing factors or multiple potential causal elements and aspects, including the psychological, purely psychological, what is someone's upbringing environment, dysfunctional, functional, as well as the toxicity from the environment or from foods. And, of course, vaccines could also be an environmental factor. So many, many different things here. What really, I guess, saddens me the most about these kinds of events or people's reactions to these events, the events themselves are just so horrific beyond words. I cannot imagine what it must be like to live in that community, let alone to be one of the parents who lost a child or whatever. I just don't see that as something that you ever could ever fully recover from. You learn to one degree or another over time to cope with it. But I just don't see how someone ever really, you don't get over something like that, you know. And that just, I hope I'm wrong, but it just strikes me as something that's ultimately an unhealable wound, at least in any full or complete sense. And I just don't have words to express
how. And I will be having, sometime in the future, I will be having a spiritual guest on the Monday Health Live Stream Video Health In Show to talk about this type of thing. You know, it's not, this is one event in events that are occurring every minute of every day. It's occurring around the world to infants, children, young people, adults in different parts of the world. And we are just not, we don't have that heightened sensitivity to the events. We brush them out of our mind because it's too frightening, it's too hard to look at. But this hit us in the face, and it really affected everyone. The problem with humans is we have a really short memory span, and that's one of the saddest things. And you know that events have occurred in the United States a number of times. A little has been done, a little too late, and then it just it fades from the memory. This is a problem. And right, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, I heard on the news that on one of the past events, some amount of funding was passed through Congress for mental health care and prevention. But the very next year, the funding was reduced by half. I don't have the exact statistics, but you see what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That it.
Well, there are certainly just an endless number of issues competing for state and federal funds, and it's just really hard in the political world to keep a focus on any one issue, especially when there are competing points of view. It's just a really difficult process, but it doesn't. I think overall, mental health has gotten more attention in recent decades than in past decades, but clearly needs much, much more. But there's another element here, and I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but there's a darker side to the collection of issues that you put out there that I don't think you mentioned, and that is the the hypothetical issue where someone is deliberately manipulated in such a way as to cause or create these kinds of events. I'm not making a suggestion with regard to any specific event. But there are those who believe that the technology exists. Here I'm referring maybe to, I'm not sure if it's a hard technology or soft technology or a combination of the two, in terms of hardware or just psychological techniques, but ways to manipulate people's minds to cause them to go out and commit these kinds of events. And there's already been conflicting reports about whether or not there were one or even two other people involved in this latest shooting. It's just there are sides, you know, we ultimately hear what the media wants us to hear, and ultimately the media increasingly in recent years and decades is controlled by fewer and fewer people. So it's really hard to get a beat on sometimes on what the actual facts are unless you do a lot of digging and spend time with that. But many, many different possible serious issues here. And the thing that is worse to me once it has happened, worse to me in terms of the way that the reactions, different reactions to see people have, is those who try to politicize it and use it to achieve a particular end. Oh, now we right. just see all the more clear we need to get rid of guns. You know, and you could argue just the opposite. Now we need to arm principals and teachers so that they can defend when somebody comes in. I mean, you could argue that both ways. I'm not asserting a position personally one way or the other. I'm just
exactly.
pointing out that,
exactly.
that sadly people will mm-hmm. politicize it and try to use it, you know, to achieve a pre-existing goal.
Exactly, yeah. So it requires us as human beings to go deeper into our soul energy, the part of us that doesn't always show through. We have to really look ethically and morally, listen to the other people, to the other side, with an open ear and an open mind to see what their concerns are and the possibilities. And the only thing that I can, you know, contemplate is to have small communities as pilot communities to test the mental health and criminal health in those pockets around the United States to see, or in the world, to see what is the outcome if you take certain steps. What do you think of that? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. My mind wandered briefly, and I'm not sure I quite understood.
Okay, what I'm saying is, you know, the whole world is an experiment anyway.
Welcome to reality.
we're all guinea pigs. We're all whatever our life is, we can't plan them out. We don't really know what's going to happen. But certain things in our environment do affect us. And unbelievably, I just wrote an entire blog article that your environment can affect whether or not you get breast cancer, and that includes physical massage to yourself. And by doing that, even if you have a propensity or you have, you know, the genes for cancer, you can put them away just by the environment in which the cells are living, and therefore so with an entire society. So let's say we take Raleigh, North Carolina, Raleigh, Durham, Cary, you know, that area, Chapel Hill area, and we say, okay, we're going to put in place this form of a law. We're going to remove all the guns. Now let's see what happens. Then we take Arizona, and there we're going to arm everybody, and let's see what happens. And so that's what I'm saying, little community pockets of experimentation to find out, or this community has no vaccinations, or this community, you know, these kinds of things. It's really scientific, as far as I'm concerned, to test different parameters and see what works.
I mean, that's a great idea. And one of the things about the setup of this country as a collection of largely, with regard to some issues anyway, independent states, where sort of by default we have become a big experiment where different states will do different things with some issues, and we have different results. Of course, it may be that with any given issue, the solution in one community is different than the solution in another community, so it's not necessarily cut and dried, you know, you vaccinate in your community and we won't here and we'll see who has the better health as a result. That may not be the best example for that, but there's certain, you know, there may be different solutions for different people in different locations on various issues. But ultimately, yeah, the human race is a big experiment. This country is a big experiment in terms of political structure, what really does or doesn't work. Valid point.
Okay. Let's move on to some of the upcoming news here. And I also posted on the chat the Harris Coulter book, Vaccination, Social Violence, and Criminality, The Medical Assault on the American Brain. And people really probably should investigate what's going on in terms of the ingredients in the vaccines that can change the neurological function of the brain to promote or trigger violence and criminal behavior, which has definitely been concluded in research and scientific research, no doubt about it. And so we're going to look at, you want to look at the vaccine industry in a panic over pending UN removal of mercury in vaccine?
Yeah, that's a real interesting issue. The UN has apparently taken a position that they want to remove mercury from drugs, and the vaccine industry is saying, wait, we've got to make vaccines the exception, because if we have to take the mercury out of vaccines, that will threaten the global vaccine industry. This is really going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I'm really surprised that there's even that conflict in the first place. I expect.
Why are you surprised about the conflict?
I would expect the World Health Organization to have sort of addressed that preemptively in favor of the vaccine industry, and that appears to be not what has happened. Not because I think mercury in vaccines is a good thing, but I think that the way the political systems in the world today work, from local, state, federal, you know, national, international, is that they are largely controlled by industry. And so the policy and law, clearly here in the U.S. and I think abroad as well, is something that's driven by the pharmaceutical industry's control of government and not by government's independent objective assessment of the need for vaccines.
Are you saying you're surprised that it was even allowed to be an issue, that it shouldn't have even come up because the powerful entities wouldn't have even made it available for discussion?
In effect, I mean, the World Health Organization is an interesting organization, as I have bumped into it, so to speak, at different times with different aspects of the vaccine issue. I have seen conflicting messages. The World Health Organization is the organization, for example, that changed the definition of level 6 pandemic during the so-called 2009-10 or prior to the declaration of pandemic in 2009 for the swine flu. And in doing so, they allowed a very mild disease to qualify for the highest, most severe level, which makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And when they did that, it triggered contract clauses that required, in effect, bottom line, countries to purchase vaccines from the industry. And the change in definition triggered what ultimately ended up being $18 billion of sales of swine vaccines internationally because of contract clauses that were worded in a way that depended on that level 6 designation. So it was a huge scam. So on the one hand, the World Health Organization conspired to with the vaccine industry to turn a non-issue into a pretend major issue that was resulted in the pharmaceutical industry laughing all the way to the bank. And yet, in 2009, on a one page of the World Health Organization's website, they acknowledge that there is corruption throughout the healthcare industry. They used the phrase "medicines chain," meaning, you know, there's a series starting with research and development and ending up with the sales and marketing of a finished product. And there's a, you know, sequence of events, a chain, if you will, what they call the medicines chain from beginning to end there. And the World Health Organization stated on its own website that there's corruption throughout the medicines chain. And so on the one hand, they're part of the corruption. On the other hand, there's parts of the World Health Organization that are acknowledging and promoting awareness about the corruption. So, we get mixed messages. But I would have expected the same entity that would do something like change the definition of level 6 over the objections of several countries for something as bogus as what they did. And even the British Medical Journal, mainstream, internationally known and accepted medical journal, published information criticizing the mishandling of the pandemic by the World Health Organization. So it's sort of curious.
But if you want to stick to this particular issue, I did mention it on Monday's show with Dr. Isaac Golden, who's a researcher into vaccinations and homeopathic prophylaxis of contagious epidemic disease, and I mentioned this as breaking news, that there would be a ban on mercury to remove this toxicity from our environment. And he said he understood and agrees that mercury is an important component to stabilize the vaccinations when they're doing the batch vaccines, which are what is being used globally in third world countries when they're trying to vaccinate and reduce, and this is their belief, and reduce disease. Whether it does reduce disease, I don't really have 100% answer on that. Whether it does but cause long-term side effects, for instance, violent behavior, maybe because we're vaccinating everybody in the third world countries, that's why we see war. I don't know, but we've always had war even before vaccines. It's an eternal struggle within humanity itself. But you understand why the World Health Organization says that they must maintain having the thimerosal, and that they, quote-unquote, experts say thimerosal ban would imperil global health efforts. And so we know scientifically why, because it would destabilize the vaccines when they deliver them to the populations.
There's certainly lots of evidence to suggest that that's a political answer and not a true scientific answer.
Okay.
You know, that as to the idea that we need mercury in vaccines. I mean, as we've mentioned previously on the show, a nonprofit organization last year, the Coalition for Mercury Free Drugs, got information last year through the Freedom of Information Act, emails from the CDC, where they were discussing with study authors back in probably around, give or take, around 2002. They had data showing that when they took the mercury out of vaccines, that autism rates went down, and they were discussing in these emails whether or not to publish that data. Well, they decided not to publish it, and they instead published other data, and the resulting study referred to informally as the Danish study because it was looking at Danish children. That's the study everybody points to now that says, here's the proof that vaccines don't cause autism.
I think partially what Dr. Golden said was it costs a lot more to produce vaccines without the thimerosal, and that's probably one of the reasons. So an economic an economic reason as well as a political reason.
Yeah, but, I may have misunderstood or misspoke.
No, you didn't. You didn't at all.
Okay, I wasn't challenging Dr. Golden. I was simply saying that the idea that you have to have mercury in vaccines...
For the type of vaccine that they deliver, which is the multiple batch canister, it's not the individual dose. You know, so they go into
a
community...
They may need it for the vaccines. I guess mine was really targeting a different layer of the issue. I was saying I question whether the vaccines are needed at all, whether we need to support the vaccine industry by allowing them to continue poisoning people by keeping mercury in the vaccines. And mercury, of course, is only one of a long list of toxic ingredients that are in vaccines. So just getting the mercury out of vaccines might be a good thing, but that's not going to solve the vaccine problem.
Right. So I agree wholeheartedly, 100% with you, that if the amount of money that was poured into the vaccine issue instead was poured into clean water, sanitation, shelter, nutritional, getting them self-sufficient farms, all the different basic needs of survival, then...
Maybe even homeoprophylaxis.
I did ask Dr. Golden, I went through the litany of things that a person needs just to maintain their health, and he says yes, but we still have epidemic contagious disease, even if we have all of those things. Thus, homeopathy is, you know, we have so much homeopathic research available, and not even experimental, but actually live demonstration that it works to prevent epidemic disease. This is something that we need to institute in lieu of the vaccines, and that's a personal opinion. So, you know, don't, if you quote me on that, you'll have to quote yourself if you want to agree or disagree with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Do you want to move on now to the issue of vaccination in Pakistan, which ties right into that your belief system is going to be where you go with if you want to have that program in your country, and what is happening as an internal struggle and an internal war within a population, as the Pakistan polio workers who were giving at the women who do this, who have little clinics and give out the polio vaccines, they were targeted and killed in Pakistan.
Yeah, five women within about a 20-minute period in different locations. And clearly somebody is using, you know, terrorism to undermine the immunization program. And what is interesting to me, first of all, it's you know, a horrible tragedy. I don't care what your view on vaccines is. Mm-hmm. Killing people who are administering them is not the way you deal with it, unless, of course, it's not an appropriate way to deal with it. But somebody obviously did address it in that way, and who knows what the goal was here. It may or may not be because, in fact, I suspect, of course, I don't know, I suspect it had nothing to do with a belief that the vaccines were not safe and effective. I think probably quite the opposite. It was an attempt to terrorize people anyone who would first of all participate in and further that program, but to leave everybody else in the community terrified that now they don't have protection against polio. It's probably more something on that level. But it's really interesting that...
I'm confused of what you just said. Who is...
I don't think people killing the vaccinators are doing so because they think vaccines are harmful.
That's what they say.
Pardon me?
They say that it's a plot, an American plot, don't they?
Well, there's probably more than one article out there. The one that I skimmed did not... they don't know who's doing it. Nobody has stepped up and said, we're behind this, although they do say that the Taliban has a position against the vaccination program.
Yeah. For what reason?
I don't know the Taliban's view in the article.
Do you think that if a population believed that getting these vaccinations would curb the spread of a rampant disease like and devastating disease like polio, they would prevent their population from having that vaccine?
I think anybody who would kill polio vaccine workers, in an obviously a very clearly premeditated, calculated killing, because they killed five people in different locations within a very short period of time. So, you know, it's not a random...
It was definitely planned. It was not haphazard.
Yeah, it's clearly an act of terrorism.
Right.
But I don't think that is because they thought the vaccines were going to hurt people and they wanted to save those people. I think it was far more likely an act that was intended to instill terror both in anybody who's involved in the program, to discourage anybody from trying to administer vaccines, and to leave the population scared that now they don't get their vaccines that they think they need to protect them. I don't know. That's just a personal opinion.
I think that in that type of atmosphere and country, women are indispensable. I mean, I know in India they kill baby girls when they're born because they're indispensable. They're not wanted. And similarly...
I think you mean expendable.
Indispensable
would mean just the opposite.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I
used
the wrong
word.
Is that what you mean? That they're considered second-class citizens or whatever? They're expendable?
They're expendable.
Yeah, that's
right.
Sad.
So for that reason, the women are the ones who are the health caretakers in the community, and they're the ones who are going to gather the families. So, you know, they don't really hold the woman in high regard at all.
Well, your
take is very interesting.
This case where I just don't see terrorists as being anti-vaccination in the sense that maybe you or I might consider ourselves to be. And one of these people, a sixth person, a man, was killed a day or two later. So they're not limiting it just to women. But clearly, whatever the motivation, clearly they're trying to interfere with the polio campaign.
Right.
But it's going to have a far... Assuming the majority of people have no concerns with vaccines...
Can I read you a line from the article?
Sure.
It says, quote, "In many parts of Pakistan's northwest, the Taliban has banned such programs, claiming they are a U.S.-backed plan to sterilize Muslims."
Okay.
"Antipathy to the vaccination drive has also increased since the CIA established a fake hepatitis drive in the city of Abbottabad to try to obtain information about Osama bin Laden."
Well, maybe I'm not giving these people the credit they're due here then. But
well,
I don't think an act of terrorism killing people is, of course, I'm not endorsing that response at all.
It's horrible. No life should be lost for any reason, especially innocent lives. And we cannot condone any form of terrorism, even related to vaccination. We need to take humanity, you know, a logical, rational steps. as you are the lawyer in the legal sphere. So if, do you have anything more to say about this? I mean, we might see more of these incidents, and I don't know what the solution is. Again, you know, I'm always trying to find an answer, a reason, a meaning, a cause. What can we do?
Well, we know that vaccines have been used on third world populations to cause infertility. Without the knowledge of those populations. So the concern about a U.S.-backed plan to sterilize Muslims, whether or not true in this particular instance, is one that is not completely out to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, by responding to it in the way that they did, whoever it is that did this, they've completely undermined their own credibility and their potential. And for all we know, the deaths were a CIA plot to do exactly that, undermine the credibility of an argument that claims the U.S. is doing something inappropriate. You know, it's just, you never really know what's behind these things, you know, and in some people's minds, most humans on the planet are expendable,
mm-hmm.
you know, to people who operate outside the law, and there are such people on the planet today who have tremendous amounts of power and money and can basically do whatever they want to do and with impunity. So who knows ultimately what's going on here, but it's a tragedy that anybody was killed, and it continues to be a tragedy that vaccines are pushed on third world countries without them having, just like here in the U.S.,
you know,
without
maybe
there being widespread objective information available and people having the right to make their own choice.
Maybe the folks over there have been reading on the internet. You know, all of the stuff from Bill Gates, the UN Bill Gates Foundation pushed deadly HPV shots on poor nations. And when you get a vaccination, you really don't know what's in it. Honestly, I don't think that you do.
No, of course not.
And we know that the federal government's Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, VAERS, VAERS, has received over 9,000 reports of problems since the Gardasil vaccine was introduced in 2006, which include at least 28 spontaneous abortions and 27 deaths. And we know also that the number of miscarriages from just the flu vaccine is like 700%. So there is a problem with vaccinations, with vaccine damage and death related to vaccines. And let's see, I know that we have a list somewhere of infertility. Oh, the polysorbate 80 causes infertility, if that's a component in the vaccine. United States funding sterilizations of Philippine women. There's whole bunches of things over history that we could see why they could get that idea.
Yeah, the basic idea is a valid one. What's really unfortunate is that if somebody is resorting to terrorism because of that information,
right,
that's bad because they probably saying they've shot themselves in the foot is not a good figure of speech to use under these circumstances. But the point is that they undermined their cause, which leads me to raise as a purely hypothetical question.
Mm-hmm.
Is somebody else setting this up to make it look like that? Somebody who wants to further the vaccine agenda.
Right. It's kind of like a double spy. Double spy spy.
Well, you know, if you, it could be part of a larger disinformation campaign. You discredit any opposing view so that you can go forward with your agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were an immoral, unethical, do anything I want with impunity kind of person, and I was favoring vaccines, and I saw people catching wind of what I was really doing with the vaccines, then I would look for ways to make them not be credible,
mm-hmm.
which could include staging an event like we just had and making it look like it came from the other side. And then I can say, okay, the other side is now not credible because they resort to terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a purely hypothetical idea
it's
my
very,
part. I don't have any information supporting that one way or the other.
It's really a game of psychology, isn't it? Mental chess.
Oftentimes, yes. Yes, mm-hmm. I think that's a fair thing to say. But let's push on because the clock is rolling by quickly here. There's lots of other things to talk about. Did you have anything else you wanted to say on that, Debbie? I don't mean to cut you short on it either.
No, not at all. I wanted to move forward. Go ahead with whatever you have next on the agenda.
Well, there's that narrows it down to about 50 things. But let me take a couple minutes here and talk about what's going on in New Jersey. There have been about five different states in the last couple of years or less that have passed laws restricting access to school exemptions. In my professional opinion, at least three states have unconstitutional laws on the books, laws that violate the First Amendment one or two different ways, and at least one of the states that changed laws, I think, has a constitutional law, but the implementation, I think, is unconstitutional. So very serious problems here. Well, New Jersey has a pending law that could add them to the list of states that are restricting access to school exemptions, vaccine exemptions. They have a law that, or a bill that, if passed, would require something new for religious exemptions there, and that is that people would have to state their beliefs, and the beliefs would be subject to scrutiny. And needless to say, a lot of people in the alternative vaccine community in New Jersey are very upset about this. New Mexico did something similar, and a large number of people who had gotten exemptions previously were no longer getting exemptions. So from the health department's point of view of we need to cut back on the number of exemptions, it was a very successful law. And now New Jersey parents are terrified, basically, that the same thing is going to happen there or something very similar. But I had somebody, I was a recipient of an email where somebody was saying the state should have no role in judging whether it deems a family's religious beliefs to be bona fide, which is just Latin, two Latin words meaning sincere, you know, or in good faith. And the person thought that this was unconstitutional, it's discriminatory, a violation of the First Amendment and New Jersey state constitution, a violation of the separation of church and state, an infringement on religious rights and constitutional rights, overstepping of authority. And I want to respond to that because there are some subtleties in the law here that people don't understand. First of all, I agree entirely with the sentiment of that list of violations the person experiences or feels about the idea of having the state scrutinize their personal religious beliefs. It opens a potential can of worms when the state, legally and otherwise, when the state starts scrutinizing. But I want to clarify, again, a couple of the legal lines, because to really address these matters effectively, we have to understand what the starting place is. And we do have this so-called separation of church and state in this country, and it comes from the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which has the what's called the Free Exercise Clause that refers to the free exercise of religion. But it's not an unbounded right, the free exercise of religion. And in the arena with vaccines, the right to refuse vaccines for religious reasons has always been bounded by the state's right or even obligation to, in effect, say, oops, never mind, if there's a situation that calls for that. The principle or concept there, I think, is perfectly valid. Where we run into problems is when that principle or concept is misapplied or misused or abused. But the free exercise of religion, the First Amendment, doesn't say anything about vaccines. It doesn't say anything about whether or not the state or government can scrutinize religious beliefs to see if you qualify or not. And so we have to look to legal precedent to answer that question, because we don't get to decide how to interpret the Constitution or laws or whatever. And at least with regard to any strict or formal sense, that role is up to the courts. And sometimes when courts rule on issues, they write what's called a published opinion that becomes legal precedent. And so we got to look to the legal precedent to see, well, how far can the state go and what is proper and what is appropriate. And the government and the courts in particular have been reluctant to dabble in religion beyond any minimally necessary level to address legal issues that concern religion. And the end of the story boils down to this. The government does have the right under the Constitution, state or federal governments, to scrutinize religious beliefs if they decide to pass laws giving themselves this right. So in terms of axioming religious exemptions, the answer as to whether or not the state or a health department can scrutinize your beliefs.
That's like a loop. It sounds like a loop.
I don't understand what you mean by loop.
The government has the right under the Constitution of the state or federal government to scrutinize if they pass a law giving themselves a right. Now, that's kind of like weird.
No, it's not. You think about it. The state can decide whether or not it wants to go there. And many states pass laws where they say, we're not going to go there. And I can tell you some reasons why they might do that, although I don't know, you know, what the thinking of state legislators was in any given instance. But I could make an educated guess about that. But the bottom line is they have the right to scrutinize if they want to. But they may choose not to scrutinize. There's no problem with not scrutinizing. And so some state laws are written in a way that the state does have the authority, and other state laws are written in a way that the state does not have the authority. It's an option. But the point here is that it's not improper for the state to pass a law allowing the state, the health department, or whomever they want to delegate properly or appropriately delegate authority to allow scrutiny. Because it boils down to this, and this is a place where I think common sense and the law are right in line. Now, that's not always the case in this issue. There are many instances, like when how you write a statement of religious beliefs, the law is not, on that point, is not does not follow, always follow common sense, reasonable thinking as most people would approach that. And that's why I always tell people, if you're in a situation where you have to state your beliefs, if it's really important to you to get the exemption, you should be considering talking with an attorney who has experience in this area, because most people, when they do that on their own, will wander into one or more of what I call legal pitfalls. Basically, they can shoot themselves in the foot when they do that. But in terms of whether the state can scrutinize, if you have a right to a religious exemption, it's not appropriate for that right to be given to somebody who doesn't have beliefs that are really religious. And so, however reluctantly, the law has to ultimately define religion for legal purposes. We can define it any way we want to for our personal purposes, but for legal purposes, there has to be a definition of religion. And if your beliefs aren't religious, then you shouldn't get a religious exemption. So that, to me, is just a straightforward common sense issue. So courts then, and states, government ultimately needs the authority, if they, again, with regard to any given state, whether if they choose to go there. You know, if they want to scrutinize. And the reason states want to scrutinize is because they want to cut down on the exemption rates. They want to weed out anybody whose beliefs really aren't religious, but who's faking it and claiming a religious belief. And as long as the scrutiny is applied in a proper and appropriate way, that's a reasonable thing for them to do. That's a big if, and that raises a whole separate constitutional issue. But as a starting place, scrutiny makes sense. Also makes sense in terms of whether the beliefs are sincere. You know, if you join a church to get the exemption, but you don't really hold those beliefs, you're just using the church as a cover, that's dishonest, and that person shouldn't get the exemption either. And if they don't have religious objections, they need to be lobbying for a philosophical exemption. Now, there's a separate question about whether you do whatever you have to do when your government's out of control and so forth. But again, it's just as a starting place as to whether or not the state can pass a law that allows the state to scrutinize exemptions. It's a constitutionally appropriate or acceptable thing for states to do. Some states have chosen not to do that, but more and more states either are doing that or are looking at that as a way of cutting down exemptions, of trying to weed out the people who truly don't qualify.
Okay.
The problem, of course, comes up with the implementation. And if they don't apply proper criteria consistently and fairly and evenly to everybody in the state who's requesting the exemption, then they are arguably violating the parents' constitutional equal protection rights. That's a clause in the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. So, but whether they can scrutinize under the Constitution, yes, they can. Do they have to do it in a way that is fair and consistent and even? Yes, and that's the problem. So New Mexico scrutinizes now. They didn't used to, but now they scrutinize. The anecdotal feedback I've gotten suggests that they're not scrutinizing consistently, fairly, and evenly, and if that's the case, there's a constitutional problem, maybe not with the law, but with the implementation of the law. And this is probably why a lot of states write their laws so that the beliefs are not scrutinized, because it avoids this can of worms of how are you going to set up scrutiny in a way that is really fair.
Okay.
Did that make sense?
Yes, it was very, it made a lot of sense. You went into quite a bit of detail with it. And where, let's tie this in to the, we were talking about the New Jersey state bill, which is saying that the New Jersey Senate bill aims to tighten the religious exemptions on vaccination. So just to summarize, that they are seeing other states going ahead with this option that they have as a state government to scrutinize and to reduce the number of exemptions and waivers. And then the reaction of the people, because one of the things they're saying is that there's a growing statistics of supposedly non-immunized children, and because people are having a lot of want exemptions, and they're seeing outbreaks like whooping cough, but they're not understanding that the whooping cough is a strain, most likely, that is they're not being vaccinated for in the first place, and that most of the children who get the disease are vaccinated children, which means that the vaccines aren't working. So it's a catch-22 there, but so what is the conclusion of this whole thing, that basically if you are concerned, find a good attorney?
Well, first of all, if you're in a state or in a situation other than a school exemption, like healthcare workers or military families or members or immigrants who have to get vaccines, all those are situations where you have to state beliefs. If you're in a situation where you have to state your beliefs, I recommend doing a consultation with a knowledgeable attorney so that you can get put together what I call a legally sound, airtight, so to speak, statement of beliefs, because that's really core to the right. If you have a fundamental flaw in your beliefs as you are asserting them, then the right can just kind of be pulled right out from underneath you. But as to the folks in New Jersey, if it's your personal opinion that this feels discriminatory or offensive or whatever, that's certainly fine, and you're certainly welcome to share that with your state representatives. But it's not unconstitutional,
mm-hmm.
as many people believe and are saying, and it's not discriminatory in a legal sense for a state to scrutinize the religious exemptions. I guess that's the main point.
Okay.
So the place to attack this in a formal way legally is to say, even though it may be constitutional to pass this law, the implementation of the law raises serious constitutional and logistical issues. Who's going to scrutinize? Who's
right.
going to, you know, train, and how are they going to do that? There's just no way they can do that all throughout the state consistently and fairly, and that would be unconstitutional if they didn't implement it appropriately.
Could okay.
raise a constitutional issue. So that's the place to attack it. But there's certainly nothing wrong with attacking it as well, as just to say this feels discriminatory or violative to me personally. I don't want the state
right.
meddling in my personal beliefs. And that's certainly a reasonable
so
position.
So if people want to unify in New Jersey, they have to look at it and gather anecdotal evidence, I imagine, of persons who have gone through the system and say, this was my statement or this is my belief and I did not get it, and gather as much information to show or prove to a court that it has been unjustly and unfairly determined across the board.
Well, if the law passes and people want to attack the law, that would be one way to do it, to gather, not anecdotal, to document instances where people with similar belief statements, where some have been rejected and some have been accepted, or anything else that shows inconsistent application of the law. And then you could take that to court and claim a violation of equal protection rights under the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. That's a potential way to approach it if they lose. But in terms of, say, you know, communicating to your representative, this bill should not be passed in the first place. You point out that it's just logistically not feasible for the scrutiny to be constitutionally applied.
Okay,
it's not
so
going to be
head
applied
it off
fairly
at the
and
pass.
Evenly. Yeah, you,
yeah,
yeah
so head it off at the pass.
Yeah, that's, of course, the ideal goal here.
Better to do that than have to fight an uphill battle later on. Okay, so are there any other issues that we want to talk about?
Well, I think we're about out of time here, I'm sorry to say, but I'll refer people to the Pandemic Response Project website. That's pandemicresponseproject, all spelled out, .com. And go to the news page, the link at the top that says news, and there is a long list of fascinating articles just in the last several days. I tell you, there just continues to be a constant stream of vaccine-related news articles, and I have articles there concerning issues around the U.S. and around the world. And the global view on this issue is a fascinating and, I think, ultimately critical one to have. And you can certainly get a good piece of that from the PandemicResponseProject.com website. But, Debbie, I think we're going to be off for a couple weeks and back on. It would be, I guess, January 10th, I think, the next Thursday.
I think January, if we're looking at January, are we going to go to January 3rd? Or are we skipping that? It's up to you. I will just post it up there and make an announcement
maybe you'll be on vacation. Yeah, we'll check that. I'm not sure at this point. Let's double check it. We may be back on the 3rd, but certainly if not the 3rd, the 10th.
Because
and let's
have
that conversation off the air, Debbie. But
we have 5 weeks in January. So I want to wish everybody a really wonderful, wonderful holiday season and a happy new year. Get through tomorrow, on to the next cycle. And we thank all of our listeners for sharing these shows, whether you're on Twitter, Facebook, your own page. Anything that you do to let other people know, just talking it up in your community, in your little network circles, we appreciate that. And I want to thank those who are listening. We love everybody out there, and that is the most healing energy that we can provide.
Well put, Debbie.
Okay.
Take care. I'll see you next time.
Okay. Bye-bye, everyone. And don't forget to listen to our shows, the Health In Show on Monday, and on Wednesdays, Dr. Adel on cardiology and heart health.
Thank you for listening to Vaccinations and Your Rights in the U.S. with co-hosts Alan Phillips and Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Radio. Remember to educate before you vaccinate. Yeah.
Your truth be young girl.